Hello and welcome to another episode of These Little Moments podcast. I'm your host, your online health and wellness coach, Ryan Kasem. And in this episode, I interview Coach Kelly Mack. Fun story, Kelly used to be a client of mine. She went from somebody who constantly was trying to lose weight to going into a maintenance phase. And then she herself took us through a surplus phase and then got really deep and educated about building muscle and how to build muscle efficiently. So if you're somebody who's interested in building muscle, right, aka you're trying to tone, this is the episode for you. In this episode, we get into the very nitty gritty biomechanics of building muscle. You know, what does recovery look like? You know, how much volume should you do? What range of motion should you be doing with your exercises? And the biggest misconceptions around strength training. So if you're trying to build muscle, this episode is for you. I'll see you in there. Hey, Mac.
What up?
What's up, dog?
And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you live.
good to see you, and good to see you still got that tan, even though you're out of the old Key West.
Oh, working on it. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder here.
Where'd you go?
South Carolina.
Oh.
Yeah.
What made you decide to leave the Keys?
Well, we were kind of looking, you know, loosely, and then Michelle got a job offer. So we left.
There you go. Yeah.
It was a big change, a lot harder than I think I thought, because I was there for about 22 years.
Yeah, I know. You were like Miss Key West.
Yes. Yeah.
How was that transition? Like, because you had a lot of in-person clients too, right?
I did. So that was the tough part, you know, leaving them, starting over.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was very, very, very challenging. So that's sort of where I started pivoting online a little bit, because my Key West clients wanted to stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I'll, you know, do your training and nutrition online.
Yeah.
Kind of slowly started that way.
Yeah.
And then we actually first went to Sarasota area for a year.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then that didn't really work out, and then her job took us here.
Mm.
So I was there for a year and I got more in-person clients slowly but surely, but then I started, you know, just kind of getting more and more online. And
yeah. Wow, pretty crazy.
No, fully remote. Yeah,
I know. How do you like it? Because I remember when I transitioned to all online, I liked it at first. I was like, oh, all this time I don't have to be here when this client has their session, this client has their session. And then like a year or two in, I was like, I kind of miss in-person training a little bit. So I got back into it more when I moved to San Diego.
Yeah, same. I mean, there's some times where I do miss, you know, the connections in person. But right now I'm still kind of enjoying
it. Yeah.
Being home with the dogs and like, uh-huh. You know, make my own schedule, go to the gym early, you know, and then kind of be in and out. I got a walking pad, so I'm all set.
Wow, you're all in.
Yep, I'm in. But you know, I'm working with Beth now.
Yeah.
So that's been really awesome.
Good. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Awesome. And well, I got a shit ton of questions I want to ask you, because I think one, you have a cool history. We have a cool history,
mm-hmm.
And it's been really amazing to see sort of when I knew you to how you've taken your education and your really deep dived into training and programming and all of that. I think that's been the coolest part, because I remember even when, you know, we were coaching, you were so, so fascinated into like the whys of programming and, you know, why we're doing this, why, like, how does this involve, how do we progress from this? And I think it's like that passion from early on, from just coaching you, I think just I saw that where you're just like, I'm fucking going all in on this shit, because like it really was passionate. So what kind of, I guess, what got you into, I guess, the like learning and deep diving more about like strength training, and then also, you know, what you're really focusing on now?
I mean, I think when I started with you, which you are such a great first coach for me, you're my first coach, right?
Wow.
Yeah, to you, like kind of doing the thing that now I'm like my clients are kind of doing. training really hard, you know, 5-6 days, you know, low calories, like scared to kind of increase food, like kind of just spinning your wheels, right? It's like, how do I get to this place I want to go? Like, you know, how do I get jacked? How do I do this? You know, I thought I'm doing, you know, more, not eating enough. And then the first thing you did, we're like, boom, we're raising calories. and you're training only 4 days. That was like two things you did right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And I remember telling Michelle, like, how she's like, just, you know, trust Ryan. Like, he knows what's up. Like, you're in. Like, this is something you haven't tried.
Yeah.
You know, open your mind. And I'm like, you're right. And that's actually what I tell my clients now. Like, open mind, you know, like, this is something you're not used to doing, but it's something, probably the one thing you haven't done. And sure enough, so like each week you kept like raising my calories. And before I knew it, I was eating like, you know, 2,100 calories, which was a huge jump.
Yeah.
So, I felt so good, you know, and then like we just kind of rolled with that and just got stronger and I felt so much better. So I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And then eventually went into a surplus. I think right
at
home, we kind of ended together. And then I was like, we remember we eloped. You were the only one that knew.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
So then after that I went into a surplus and then did a photo shoot. So like kind of cleaned up. So I learned a lot in that process. I mean, starting with a group and then kind of gaining.
Yeah.
And then doing this aggressive photo shoot like prep.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of deep dive from there. Like I found out about N1 education. So I went to my first practical that summer, was very overwhelmed. It's very intense. It's awesome, but very humbling. Like you think you know a lot and then you go to one of those things and it's next level. Spectacular.
Absolutely.
I was like, wow, it just felt like a beginner again. So I just kind of deep dive more and more into that and just the education part. And I ended up meeting Adam. He's one of the coaches there. So he's now my coach and mentor. Wow. I do a mentorship with him ongoing.
That's amazing.
Again, last summer to another practical. And I was like, okay, I've already gone once. Like, you know, now I've been working with Adam for a year. I'm going to go again. Still felt like a beginner.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. Yeah. But
yeah, it's humbling.
The education part, you just never stop learning, you know, and that's, there's just always more to learn. More research is coming out.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's one of those things where, and I think as a coach, right? Cause we both coach a bunch of clients. You go in thinking like, I should have some idea, right? Of like baseline of what they're talking about. But then I think that's when you realize there's layers to this shit, right? There's like, I know this, but oh, we're going deep into the whys and the hows, right? And that does feel very intimidating as a coach.
Very much so. And then on top of it all, you're in a room of fitness professionals training. Yeah. And like also another humbling thing that we all agreed on was like, you think you train hard and then you go to one of those things and they're really pushing you and you have a room of people like cheering you on the hack squat, like true muscle failure. Like if you thought you'd hit it before, you might not have if you go to one of those things. So very, very humbling, but I just, you know, was like so hungry to learn and like understand the stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just been awesome. It's sort of like a hobby, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think like that's why I think your journey is very relatable because you had the sort of low calorie eating lifestyle. You had like the party lifestyle at one point, and then you had that transition into maintenance, right? Which was, like you said, very scary at first and reducing the amount of days that you're actually, you know, strength training, all that stuff. So that like that's very scary to people who have only known 6 days a week or more or anything like that, right? More is better, right? And then I think the transition into a surplus is also very humbling too, right?
Right.
What was
that,
your
that was the mental that was mentally probably the toughest.
How thing. So?
Just because I was also a trainer in the gym, so I'm like in the gym scene all day and then just kind of gaining. I think I gained about 12 pounds. Probably went a little bit too hard on the surplus before I like really knew, you know. I wouldn't probably go that hard now. You don't really need to be that, you know, aggressive on the surface.
Right.
You know, it was just like mentally, like you know, aesthetics wise, like wasn't wanted to be, but it did pay off when I did my photo shoot. So that was fun.
Fucking but, ripped. You
know, yeah, ripped. But you know, again, that's kind of the lifestyle. I also have realized that I don't want to live in either. You know, I've done a few cuts since then, and they've been shorter, and I'm like, I think I'm kind of done. Just like life.
Yep. That's so true. I remember, because you do, I think that's one of the things that just happens when you go into a surplus is you're going to look a little fluffy, right? I think that's very, very normal. And it's what a lot of people are scared of. But it is like a mental mind fuck. I remember, you know, I've done a few bulks and like, I look back at photos now, I'm like, oh, a lot of weight on this small guy's posture, right? Like that's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But, And it's one of those things too, where you do the cuts, right? So you do the bulks, you do the cuts, you do the bulks, you do the cuts, but you do get to that place where you're just like, I just want to fucking live and like not be in a constant bulk or cut cycle.
Exactly. Just kind of living. I want to just like have a cereal and not have to like think about, you know, what should I like, just, you know, like living life and going out and not having to like, you know, worry so much about that, like when should we go out to eat, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So just eating, that's kind of where I'm at now.
Absolutely. Well, it's a great place to be. I mean, it means, and I think maintenance, when people actually do all these things, that it really hits, right? It's like, this is maintenance. Like maintenance is defining lifestyle behaviors, going out to eat and not feeling like you need to work your way around things, right? I think it makes a huge difference.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The big thing, I think, like I said, because I've seen you really deep dive into your education about exercise and strength training, and I just, even your eyes like lighting up, you're like, I love that. So could you define for people, first, what is like N1, the courses you were doing, and then also like define what biomechanics maybe means for somebody who's like a general pop person?
Yeah, N1 is really specific on training at different muscle lengths. Like basically the biomechanics thing is like force, you know, how do your muscle tissues respond to force? You know, you think about shortened muscle positions, lengthened muscles, and like, what does that mean really in a hypertrophy world? So just kind of learning different techniques. I mean, they're really big on technique, effort. Those are like the two main things that you'll kind of learn there. So you can work with any equipment you have and you can make things work, you know, but kind of knowing the basic principles of what you're trying to target, you know, and what that looks like. Are you trying to target, you know, for hypertrophy wise, you really want to go, you know, lengthened more so than shortened. And again, there's reasonings for all that, but really the biomechanics is, like I said, just kind of force and how your body and tissue are responding to that, more or less.
Okay. Yeah. So it's the sort of where the amount of force you're putting on your body meets range of motion and the amount of exertion you're putting into that exercise, right? To target something very specific.
So exactly. Very specific. And that's where they're, you know, like as far as like, do I use a lot of that stuff for gen pop people? No. But it's really great to have the knowledge, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, they're very specific on like what fiber you're targeting. Like, is this the lat division? Is it the glute medius? You know, and it's very, very specific. Mm-hmm. And it's great to know that. But do I use that with, you know, Betty? No. No.
Betty, what the fuck are you doing here?
Exactly. This is kind of where it turns into like more of a hobby. And like, it's great to have because it's also my career, but it's more just like fun to learn that. And I think for a while I was trying to fit into like knowing all of it. That's why I'm, you know, studying so hard, but you never will know all of it, first of all.
Yeah.
And do I need it? No, most likely not for most people, you know, unless you're a competitor and like, you're really trying to get super specific, but you know, it's fun to play around. It's fun to learn and, I just enjoy it. So,
Well, I think it is, it is a very, like we said, it's like very like inception. You're going through like through the layers and layers and layers to get to the very specific things. How, I guess, because you have you have, like, your training before that was Gen Pop, right? Mm-hmm. And you said you have a lot of clients right now who are Gen Pop. How do you translate, you know, the very specifics of that training style to almost, I guess, maybe simplify to somebody who's Gen Pop and their training and that style?
I think just keeping it simpler and what you're calling the exercise. Mm. I think I started like filming myself and I was like, here's an iliac, you know, lengthened kickback. And then I send that to a client and they're like, wait, what? So you just like, okay, this is a glute kickback that we're
there
doing.
There you go.
So just kind of keeping it in simpler terms.
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, that's it. Simpler, better. You know, Michelle, my wife always reminds me, like, not everybody's like that into this stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's simple.
Very
true. You know, especially working with more and more, you know, Gen Pop these days.
Yeah.
Like, they just want, you know, they just want simple stuff. Let me know what I'm targeting. Cool. This is for, you know, my thigh. You know, doesn't have to be a quad biased, you know, split squat.
Right.
You know, a quarter rep. Like, it just gotta be simple. So yeah, just keeping it simple. Just like everything, really.
Yeah. I think that's probably what makes you a great teacher too, is if you are able to translate the overly complicated to the overly simple. I think that's what makes the best teachers/coaches, right? I think if you think of any subject you were fascinated with in school or hobbies or anything like that, it's usually the people teaching you said it in a way that just kind of clicked for you. And allowed you to sort of be like, oh, that's it's a glute kickback. Amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. There's one example that Michelle and I were cooking one day and she's like, we were making a stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, gotta keep stirring it.
Yeah.
Stir fry. And I was like, oh, like, whoa. It just kind of like, you're right. Like something like that, that like will
you just fucked me up with that.
So we call it, like, a stir fry moment. Like, that's,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just brain blasted me too.
Right? I never was like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, holy shit. I think, well, that's the episode.
Stir fry moment.
Yeah. Holy shit.
But yeah, definitely being able to, you know, talk to people in a way that they understand,
I think
is huge.
Yeah.
And not getting so fancy with, you know, the names of muscle fibers and things. Like, nobody cares, you know.
Unless they care, right?
Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah. I think so. If we, because I like the for the audience, the ability to allow them to learn from such an overly complicated topic. How, I guess, what is your, and we can go into the nutrition side, we can go into the actual hypertrophy side too, but what is, like, your, from your experience and your knowledge, what is that muscle building 101, like, formula? Like, if someone's trying to build muscle, right, we often hear, like, yeah, I know you're at your face. Oh, shit. It's because it's like an overcomplicated question that can't be, like, simply answered, right? So I think, what would it be, like, your muscle building 101 formula? And maybe I'll leave you that and we'll talk from there.
Right. Yeah, that's a loaded question.
Yes.
But I would say hypertrophy training.
Mm-hmm.
I would periodize. That's for sure. So that's another great thing that N1 has given me in my mentorship, is like learning how to periodize different types of hypertrophy.
Yeah.
Think of hypertrophy on like a continuum. It's kind of in the middle. You've got more of like a metabolic side. You've got more of a strength side. And then like, so you can kind of shuttle programs like in between. So kind of as hypertrophy being the main goal.
Right.
So that's I do it with clients. So if they want to build, I will definitely bring them into a maintenance for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a tiny little 5% surplus, depending.
Yeah.
And then put them through hypertrophy. Usually, like, maybe I would start with something like depending on the person, but, you know, a descending rep, ascending load. So 15, 12, 10, 8 as like a rep scheme, and kind of get a lot of volume. And then maybe the next month go into more of like the metabolic side, like, systemic type programming where you're moving a little bit quicker, resting 30 seconds. So doing that for couple weeks to a month, and then maybe moving into more of the strength side where you're going a little bit lower reps. So just shuttling through the different phases.
Yeah.
Really nice result as long as you are feeding, you know, feeding the machine along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just being patient.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think if we break that down, right? So you broke it down into nutrition, you broke it down into workout periodization, right? So different phases of your workout plans, and then you broke it down into the actual mental side, which is like the patience aspect. So in terms of like the nutritional aspect, can you touch on a little bit the importance of why maintenance or a slight surplus is beneficial, as opposed to a lot of people when they start, they're like, I want to lose weight and I want to build muscle, right? That's like the most common want from somebody. I think a lot of people listen to this, that's probably what they want too. So why maintenance or a slight surplus from a nutritional standpoint?
Well, it's depending where they're coming from, of course.
Yeah.
You start working your way up towards maintenance because that's going to give you the energy. That's going to give you the materials to build the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a brand new, it's going to be really hard to build, you know, in a deficit or coming from a negative place of calories. So, you know, first of all, I always use that. It's like, we need the materials to build the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just going to, you know, especially around the workouts is really kind of what I've been taught, is to like kind of feed the workouts. Carbs and protein pre and post is really important. I mean, obviously Gen Pop, as long as you're hitting your targets throughout the day, but
yeah.
Putting a little more emphasis on the nutrition around the workouts. So you want to kind of like feed the machine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just like, so having the energy and then again, the materials to build the house, and then muscle takes time. I mean,
yeah,
it's just like a snail's pace. So that's the hard part, is people expect to see these results, you know,
yeah.
And like, obviously the longer you're training, the harder it gets and the slower it gets.
Right. So true.
So it's just, yeah, the mental piece is, so I'm always like, just enjoy a life at maintenance and just train really hard. You've got the energy,
you've got
the fuel, like,
yeah,
towards the workouts, and watch that loss become a byproduct, you know?
Right. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of what I always say.
I think it's funny too, because I always think like people who are, they're like, oh, like you look amazing, blah, blah. And it's like, I've been lifting since I was 13. It's like, and I only look like this, right? It's like,
right.
It's exactly. Fucking hard.
Only, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, again, like we're in good shape, and we like how we look. I think it's like people look at, I think, physiques online and all these things. They're like, oh, like 6 months. Like, it's like, oh, it's like, no, these people have been, I've been doing it since I was 13. How long have you been strength training for?
Yeah, like maybe 17, 18.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and then there's subsection years where you're like, and then I actually started training the right way, like for 4 or 5 years.
Not just like throwing spaghetti at the wall, right?
Yep. Yeah. 1000%. So yeah. I guess in terms of like the workout aspect, right? Because you talked about like different periodizations for building muscle, right? You talked about more of like a hypertrophy phase, then you talked about like a metabolic phase, and then more of like a strength phase. What is sort of the importance of doing different like rep ranges, or like you said, more volume in first phase and maybe lower volume in the last phase? Like, what is the importance of varying it from phase to phase?
Well, I think because your body adapts. Obviously, like, you should be doing somewhat of the same exercises, but hitting them with different rep ranges, different rest intervals will help your body to not adapt. So kind of not keep it guessing, but kind of like keep it guessing, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So yeah, just like the different stimulus will, you know, improve your overall. So like, 1 month you're training like hypertrophy, and then you take a little break and go more into strength, and you're kind of training like the neurological side, and you might go over to like a metabolic,
where you're
like less rest, which will eventually make you better for that, you know, when you come back to that middle like hypertrophy phase, which will eventually make you better for that strength phase. You know, it just kind of like you can just keep rotating through.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, working different like energy systems, really, more
yeah.
or less. With kind of the same overarching goal. Like,
yeah.
So you have to kind of know what your goal is, I think, kind of zoom out and be like, what do I really want? Do I really want to train for strength? Do I just want to get strong as fuck?
Yeah.
You know, do I want to like grow muscle tissue and get strong? So I feel like hypertrophy is kind of like the best of all worlds, right? You get both goals, really. You can get really strong, you can get jacked. I mean, it's kind of like, everything kind of like fits under that little umbrella.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, and I kind of like how you touched on it, because I think too many people sort of stay in those same rep ranges their whole life, right? Like, it's either the crowd that's like, I'm going to do 15 to 30 reps, right? Or it's the crowd where it's like, I'm only doing 3 to 5 reps. Like, and then there's a crowd who is only taking 30-second rests in between sets, right? So I guess you touched on that too, like the stimulus for those different phases is really important, because you are getting a lot of benefits from each phase, right?
One kind of like helps set the stage for the next.
Mm.
You might not feel like that in the moment, but like you're doing like a metabolic phase where you are resting like shorter intervals, which will eventually help your recovery, you know, so that when you do go into like a strength or a hypertrophy phase, like you'll be able to recover quicker, so then you can lift heavier. So just they all kind of like blend.
Yeah.
Bounce off each other more or less, I think.
Yeah.
And well, it's fun. And like, that's what keeps it a little bit exciting also.
Yeah.
Because if you were just kind of doing the same 8 to 10 reps month to month, like that kind of gets stale. Like, yes, we should stick with the same things, but you know, a little bit of variety is nice. Like,
oh,
for sure.
Absolutely. Like, we all like Ritz crackers, but you throw a little peanut butter on there, it's a game changer.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
And I like how you said that too, because I think they do play a role for each other, right? Like you said, like the higher volume phase is going to help you maybe improve technique a little bit more, right? It's gonna help you build maybe your recovery a little more, and then you have the metabolic phase, which you said really focuses on the recovery aspect, especially when you go into the heavier strength training sessions when you're hitting like the 3 to 5 rep ranges, and it's really heavy, intense pull, really, you know, anaerobic. And that, because you had the shorter recovery in the previous phase, your body recovers quicker in between sets.
No, you nailed it. Yes.
Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. That's it. So yeah, it's like, it's fun because like you'll do, like I said, that metabolic phase. And then after a couple weeks, like, all right, I'm ready to like lift again. Like,
metabolic,
you're resting 30, 45 seconds. Then it's like, okay, I'm ready to like,
yeah.
Then when you're in, you know, the hypertrophy, like 8 to 10, you know, maybe like a descending rep, like 12, 10, 8, 6, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I'm ready for some strength. So,
yeah.
But like all kind of working together, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to kind of zoom out for a year. And then you can also match, you know, your nutrition alongside, which whatever phase you're in.
Yeah.
So like, depending again on your overall goal, if it's something like fat loss.
Yeah.
You know, metabolic is always good because you're moving quick.
Right.
And then you go, if you want to go into maintenance, like hypertrophy, like I said, is always great for maintenance.
Yeah.
Strength, believe it or not, a deficit works really well in strength as long as you're eating the workout.
Yeah. That's definitely a misconception, right? When everybody thinks they're starting a cut or something like that, they're like losing all my strength, losing all my gains, right?
Yeah. No. So yeah, I think because like what I learned through my mentorship is Adam always says, because when you think of like hypertrophy, it's a lot, usually like a little more volume than strength, right?
Yeah.
So you think of every time your muscle contracts, you're like carb, carb, carb.
Yeah.
And then you go into something like strength where you're not having as many contractions, so you can actually get away with being a little lighter on the calories. So
that's a great point. And usually longer rest times too.
Yeah, exactly. So you can recover. So actually a deficit works really well in a strength block.
I love that way you phrase. That's a great way to look at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. Very good. Very good.
Carb, 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 right?
Stir, I love that. Stir fry, baby.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts on, I guess, how important is, because you did talk about range of motion, you talked about volume. I guess how, and I don't know if we talked about tempo. How How important are things like volume, range of motion, and tempo when it does come to building muscle, if
Very.
they are?
Yeah. Yes, very important. I mean, I think technique is probably the best thing you can dial in. Because, as you're training, you're not going to be able to move up weight every week, right? So you kind of reach like a point where that might come to a halt. So focusing on tempo and technique is everything, right? So like each week you can improve your technique. You can work on the tempo. I always prescribe, a tempo, most likely, a 3 second lowering, but actually following through with that, because most people don't do that either. They kind of let gravity take over. When you really dial that in, I mean, it can change an exercise.
Big
So,
time.
yes.
It really, you're kind of an asshole if you're a coach, you throw in eccentrics, but it's so
Yeah,
helpful.
exactly. I mean, it is good because it makes you connect with the movement. Especially in the beginning, I love teaching it right out of the gate. Like, this is how you're gonna lower. This is, 3 seconds, count in your head, 3, 2, 1. It's just like a great habit to get into out of the gate.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
I think very important, all of it. And volume, I mean, obviously dependent.
Yeah,
The
for
more
sure.
trained you are, probably the more volume you're gonna need. So that's and also depending, like, certain people want certain body parts to come up, so you can put a little more attention there. So
Yeah, I think that's true. I think because I know for myself, if I'm doing, for example, like Jordan's workouts, like inner circle workouts, they're very compound movement based, right? They're gonna touch on a little bit of everything. And then I usually throw a little bit more arms in or something like that.
exactly. Yes.
Just for me.
Yeah, because you gotta kind of put it where you want to grow,
Right.
so you
Absolutely.
can target. It's still fun to, train. You gotta train what you enjoy also.
How do you, because I talked to Jordan Lips last week, and I think he's very into N1 as well. How do you feel about you're doing a program and all that stuff, and maybe one day just going into a gym and sort of just doing what you want that day? Like, what are your thoughts on like a maybe like a playground day, as he phrased it?
I mean, I personally probably wouldn't do that, but I think it's great if it's like gonna keep things a little bit exciting for a client. I don't think anything's wrong with that. Like, I think some people get like they have to be so by the book and so perfect. But no, I mean, I pretty much train 4 or 5 days right now. So I'd stay on my program, but I think it's important if you're getting like stale or just not enjoying it, because that's so much of it is the enjoyment factor. You have to want to do it.
Yeah, it's so true. And
Yeah.
I think we get a lot of people get lost in the sauce sometimes too, when it's like, 'cause same thing, if you're tracking your calories very strictly, you're being very dedicated to it, you don't take a diet break or anything like that, like adherence is eventually going to go down, right? So I think same with working out. I think a lot of us got into working out because of the fun of it, right? The enjoyment of it, where you're just like, this is great. Like, my heart's moving. Like, I feel a little bit stronger. This is the new machine right here. Let me try this out. Let me try it. It's like a buffet, right? You go into somewhere new. So I do think, I think for sure, I think there's, and it's all like, I think everything, any good coach is going to say it depends, right? Because it's always depends on the person and what their goal is and their mindset and their adherence at the time, right? So it's, if you're somebody who is wants the gains, but knows, hey, I need to have a little bit of a break every now and then in order for me to continue on this process and this journey, then definitely have like a playground day where you're just trying new shit or doing a group class, right? But also, if you're a person who has a dedicated goal, like you said, a lot of your athletes who like have hypertrophy goals or they're competing in something, then you're gonna want to stick to the program longer, right?
Exactly, for sure. Yeah, I mean, but it is always fun. Like, if you travel to go to a gym, like go off program, try new stuff, for sure. Definitely, I
Oh
think.
yeah. I think I went to a gym once and they had this booty thing, and I was just like, I felt like a fish out of water, 'cause I was like, I don't know how this works. But it
Right.
lit my butt up like a Christmas tree, I'll tell you
Yeah.
that.
it's fun to find like a cool gym with like, you know, yeah, old school raw kind of gym.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So in terms of, so we talked about like muscle building 101 formula, you know, how it's very nutrition specific and how periodizing your workouts is important, you know, to go in different rep ranges and to focus on, you know, the recovery aspects so you can improve your strength aspect and all of that. What do you think are the biggest misconceptions you typically see or that you've maybe experienced yourself when it comes to strength training? Right? Like what do people tend to assume they should feel after a workout or anything like that? Like, what are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about building muscle and workouts in general?
I mean, I think a big thing, which I'm sure you see too, is I'm not sore.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't really sore, so I'm not sure, you know, if I'm training right. And that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
You know, and I think just nothing's happening. You know, yeah, muscle wise, like I don't know what people I think it just false expectations about what should be happening and how fast, but
right,
muscle soreness, and like you're probably going to be sore in the beginning, like a little bit, you know, in the first week of something new, and then that kind of goes away because your body adapts.
Yeah,
so yeah, I would say soreness for sure.
Soreness, yeah. Absolutely not. It's funny because I got a tetanus shot yesterday. So I got a tetanus shot here. So my left arm is like sore. So I was just like, oh, it's, you know, and you're in, if like someone generally, you're like, oh, my muscle's going to grow there perhaps. Right.
Exactly. But
I do think it's true. I think if we all remember our first workout or our first like exercise or group class we ever did, it's like the sort, like getting off a toilet that next day, you're like, whew.
Yeah,
that's muscle, baby. That must have been a great workout, right? How do you define, I guess, like what's the norm for somebody? Like what should they experience post-workout, and especially as they're become less of a workout noob and more of like a more experienced lifter, I guess?
I mean, I think tracking your progress and seeing the kind of, you know, increases you've had, the progressive overload, I think is the best way, because again, eventually it's all going to kind of be the same. You're gonna be using the same weights for a long time, the more advanced, right? So just kind of watching your logbook and writing things down, like as detailed as it is, like shooting for one more, you know, even a half of one if you can, you know, just kind of like keeping track of like those little tiny wins that are very, you know, tiny, but get more advanced, like, and you can't move up in weight all the time or add more reps for could be a long time. So I think just progressive overload, really, just, you know, a lot of people don't want to write it down, but you know, it's really important.
Yeah. To
keep that kind of track, because then it keeps you, you know, it also keeps you a little motivated. Cool, I got 9 reps this week. I got 9 1/4. You know, like, things like that. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would say,
Yeah. And I think that's important. I think you can also translate that to nutrition too, where it's like the people who never have tracked their food don't understand the, you know, they always ask why I'm not losing weight or why isn't this working, right? But when you actually track something, in this specific case, your lifts, track the amount of reps you do, right? You track the amount of weight you did with those reps, track the intensity. Right. I think that's really important. It's really underrated. And I know you said it's like one of the biggest things when it comes to actually building muscle is your intensity. I guess how does, because I think one of the most common questions, like someone asks, like, how much weight should I use for this exercise? Right. What's your answer to that? Because I know it's like, it's so common.
I know it's tough. I mean, obviously, depending who they are, but I always use them the RPE scale. And I explain that always in my initial, you know, call with them or my first, when I give them their first program, like, this is the scale you want to use, you know, and it's going to tell you how heavy I want you to go, how hard I want you to push, really. I can pay attention to that, even though most people don't in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's so important, you know, because you want to leave like 3 reps in the tank. You want to leave 2, you want to leave 1, you want to fail. So it's really important. So just kind of following that scale, I think it's so key, because that will tell you how hard you should be going.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you decide what weight to pick.
Mm,
yeah. In RPE 6 or 7, that still doesn't mean, you know, it's light. Like, it's right. still a working set.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people think. Oh, well, then I should, you know, grab, you know, the 10s instead of the 30s. Like, no, like, you want to push it, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of figure out where you're at. It's just like, it's a great tool to have, especially within an online space, right?
Mm-hmm. There. 1,000%.
So, yeah.
What would you say is, I guess, because you did talk about 6 or 7 is good for building muscle. What would you say is like a range somebody should be shooting for from, so RPE, rated perceived exertion, right? So what is the range somebody should be shooting for when it comes to like the RPE scale?
For hypertrophy, really?
Or for hypertrophy related, yeah.
Yeah, I would say 8 for sure.
8?
Mm-hmm. 8, 9.
Oh, so you're going out.
Yeah, I would say so, you know, for sure. Because you want to, you know, at least two reps to failure for most sets. And I think you'll see some great progress that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but a lot of people don't know what that looks like, you know. So again, it's just a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
Out where would you fail? What does failure look like?
I guess that's a great question. How does failure look like? How would you define it? Like, how would you describe it to somebody?
I thought I knew what it was until I went to
until they destroyed me in front of a group of people.
Yeah, basically. It's a tough one. I mean, just really till you really can't go anymore. Not just because it's like burning, but like you legit can't go any harder. You can't get that weight up. You can't, you know, squat that. You can't squat your body up with the bar on your back or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, of course, having a spotter, but trying to test that out is always good. Trial and error over the years, I think you kind of figure it out.
Yeah, 1,000%. How does the, like, should somebody be trying to go to failure every workout? And I know you're shaking your head. What are sort of the repercussions? Because I think, you know, people, I think failure is a more common niche thing we're hearing right now in the fitness industry. Like, you should be going towards failure, all your workouts. Like, what are sort of like the repercussions if someone tried to do that, like every workout?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too much. Like, you're just not going to be able to recover from something like that. It's just too much. So, you know, I would say like a safe bet would be, you know, week one, you're like going RPE, you know, 7, 8, 9, and then maybe you're building up your RPE week to week, but like having one or two sets, you know, close to failure, I would say.
Yeah.
And then maybe in the last week, you know, maybe 2 sets failure, but yeah, I wouldn't go more than 2 sets failure.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah. And you actually, I think research is coming out that you actually don't need as much as
I saw that.
Yeah. So, I think like 8s are pretty solid, you know,
for muscle. Like a few reps in reserve.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just like, that's the thing is like, it's always changing. So,
yep.
You know, I would just say keep it safe and RP 8, 9, push hard. So you have 1 or 2 left and just try to progress off that. It's kind of just the safe bet, I think.
Yeah. And I think you kind of touched on something that we haven't talked about yet. And you mentioned recovery, right? So, how important is recovery for building muscle? And also, I guess, maybe in your own experience, what does recovery look like for somebody who's trying to build muscle? And maybe what does your like recovery routine kind of look like?
I mean, sleep.
Sleep
is huge, right? Because that's where kind of the stuff happens. Like, you're growing muscle in the gym and it's, you know, what you're doing outside of the gym and sleeping. So, I mean, as long as you have your sleep, you know, dialed in, so whatever that looks like for you, which usually 7, 8 hours is probably ideal for most people. And not training day to day, back to back. Yeah, definitely taking some time. I mean, obviously you could do like an upper lower back to back, but I wouldn't go do 2 leg days. I think if you are able to do that, then you might want to look at how hard you're training.
That would be my,
you know, and just walking, keeping your steps up. You know, you don't be doing the endless cardio. So yeah, kind of, that also helps with recovery, especially after leg days and things. So
Well, I think
that's my recovery. I mean, it's like just walking, trying to sleep, you know, eating good foods, micronutrients, carbs, you know, doing the thing.
Yeah, I think that is, it's probably one of the most underrated things is sleep, right? Because I think everybody always thinks like, oh, like I'm going to go super hard in the gym and then I should expect to see all these gains, right? But it's like you're tearing your shit up in the gym, but what you do once you leave the gym might be more important than the actual strength training session, right?
Yeah, it's 100%.
Like, yeah.
We're recovering, that's when everything's repairing and growing, you know. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're having that mindset of like waking up at 5 a.m probably right before I started coaching with you.
Yeah.
Going to do like a HIIT workout before I started my day, and then I was gonna lift later and like, you know, sacrificing sleep and again spinning my wheel, you know. So yeah, sleep, it's a lot of people are better off just sleeping in a little bit and getting that, prioritizing that rather than getting up to do something like a run or, you know, just as important.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, like I said, I don't think that's talked about enough because I think there's so much focus on, I mean, literally everything we just talked about, like this first 45 minutes was like, you know, strength and nutrition, all these things, but it's like sleep and, you know, what you're doing. And I think another thing you touched on too is, you know, your workout split, how important your workout split is to facilitating your muscle growth, right? So you kind of touched on how you can do, you know, antagonist muscle groups back to back, but it would sort of, you know, maybe harm progress, or it's a sign that you're not intense enough with your workout. So I guess what's like, if we were to paint a picture for somebody, let's say someone who's working out 3 days a week and somebody's working out 4 days a week, what's like a ideal muscle split look like so that it facilitates their muscle growth, but also their recovery?
I would say in a perfect world, probably like upper, lower, and a 3 day, depending on the person, but I'd say upper, lower, full would be my go-to.
Yeah.
If there's total beginners, you know, like you could do 3 full body if it's space. But that would be ideal, I think. Having the upper lower, you know, then you could go like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you know.
And
that gives you a lot of space between your two lower days, you know. So that's what I would say for sure.
Yeah. And we'll wrap up soon, but I'm just getting all these questions now because we also touched on, so now that we're on recovery, right, we're talking about recovery for, you know, post-workouts, all this stuff. How important is the actual recovery time in between exercises?
Again, depending on like what you're going for.
Yeah.
But just talking like muscle building, it is important because you want to rest enough that you're going to be able to lift and produce another, you know, quality heavy set. I think that's one problem a lot of people run into, like with women, let's just say like gen pop women that are coming from this place of like HIIT and classes, and you know, and then you put them into something like this, they just want to go
every
30 seconds, which turns, you know, it can change the workout. So very important to follow the rest, like usually about 2 minutes, I would say, if you're trying to produce like a good quality RPE 8, you know. So definitely 2 minutes. I mean, again, individualized, but that's in general.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so true because I think it's like, and I get dependent. Depending on who you are, what you do. But it is so true because I always tell, because I started training a lot of geriatric clients since being in California, which has been really fun, right? And I'm sure you've had like your share too. But one of the biggest things I've sort of taught, you know, mostly my, actually no, all of them, because most of them are just started lifting at like either 70, 80, 90, right? Which is really cool. But that's like one of the biggest things I'll say is like, they'll do a set and then, you know, we'll chat for like 30 seconds and they'll go to start their next one. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, oh, we're doing 3 sets, right? It's like, yeah, but how was that set, right? So kind of one of the things to simplify for people is I'll say like, if you if you're supposed to do a harder set, right, and you're able to go in your mind in 30 seconds, it really wasn't a hard set, probably, right?
Just like if you could, if you want to work out 6 days a week, like same concept, like maybe think about how hard you're pushing, because you probably shouldn't want to work out that much. Like, maybe because you like it, but
yeah,
you probably aren't, you know, you need, probably need to be pushing harder.
Yeah.
Workouts. So then you're like, ah, yeah, I'm really looking forward to my day off.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes.
I'm really looking forward to that. So same concept. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, walking. I'm looking forward to my Wednesday walks. That's what I'm
like. Yeah, totally. Me too. Same.
Yep. 1,000%. Well, that's all. I have one more question for you, right? Okay. So it's the last question I ask anybody on my podcast, and it's basically the reason I named this podcast "These Little Moments" podcast is because I don't remember if you were at Jordan's first seminar. No. Okay.
No.
So basically, he were you at the second one at all? Have you gone on?
No.
Okay, so here's brand new guests.
Yes.
So usually at Jordan's seminars, at the end of them, like you go through all the trainings and all this stuff, a lot of people, you know, start to talk about their own experience and gets very vulnerable and very deep. So for me, my big little moment that kind of shaped my trajectory of where what I'm doing now and how I feel and think is, you know, I kind of spoke to people and talked about my mental health for the first time. So it was like the first time I told people about my anxiety, my depression, all these things that I battled with. And it was this little moment that really stuck with me and allowed me to be vulnerable and build off that. Is there a moment in your life that you can kind of think back on and think, this is what sort of brought me to the person I am today, you know, sitting in that chair right now?
Jeez, that's a loaded question.
It's very loaded. It's an RPE 10, baby.
I mean, I think, you know, just always staying humble and staying true to who you are, staying humble and being authentic, I think, just is something that I've really like been learning recently, like especially working with so many clients, like loving what I do, because I'm actually able to just be my authentic self, like teaching people about my experiences and how I might be able to help them. So again, staying humble with my education and kind of staying the course and like just want to keep learning, and then also just being authentic and being true to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Is there a moment you felt like you had where it was, am I being my most authentic self, and where you had a transition? Or was it something where you, like, since birth, Kelly Mack was, you get what you get, right? Like, you, what you see is what you see.
I mean, I think it's all recent because I've been in therapy myself.
And, congrats. Let's go.
Yeah, thanks for about over a year. It's been so awesome. I mean, you can understand. So just kind of learning that, you know, to stop second guessing myself and just, you know, who I am. And it's been such a nice, like, feeling to do that.
Yeah.
Feel like it's coming out in, like, with my clients and just everything. So
yeah,
it's just an awesome feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. It is really cool when it's, it almost feels like it, I guess one way I would describe it, it feels like you're unlocked, and it feels like almost like you could breathe for the first time, right? Where it's like there's no more weight on you. It's just like, hey, like, this is me, and this is how I feel, and I know that the people who I want to keep in my life will accept me and be open to that. And you kind of, like you said, it exudes from everything else you do, right? It goes into your training, it goes into your relationships, your clients, right?
It's like, I mean, as cliche as it is, like, you're woke, you know, like,
yeah, you are.
It's like you're there, and it's such a really good feeling.
Yeah. So. It does. Yeah. It's huge. I love that. Well, I appreciate you. Where can the people find you?
Instagram, MacFitness305.
Let's go, baby.
Yes.
I love that. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you again for being on. We'll stay on just for a little bit to chit chat, but I love you. Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode of These Little Moments podcast. Thank you to Kelly for coming on. And if you would like to find more about Kelly, you can find everything in the show notes below. If you enjoyed this episode, pretty please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. They really help people find the show, and I appreciate that. I appreciate when people find the show. I really do. And if you'd like to work together, if your goal is to build muscle, if your goal is to keep it simple and maintain your health and lose fat and just be a gosh damn health hero, you can apply for coaching at bodybrian.com/coaching. I repeat that because I think I mumbled the crap out of that. You can apply for coaching at bodybyryan.com/coaching. I love you, and I'll see you in the next episode. Peace out, guys.